Over 100 million Americans wake up every month knowing that a single missed payment could mean losing their home. This isn't hyperbole. It's the quiet terror that shapes millions of lives. Housing has become the most valuable asset class on Earth, worth $258.5 trillion in the U.S. alone, surpassing all global stocks and bonds combined. Yet this staggering wealth hasn't produced more homes, it's produced more homelessness. Empty luxury towers stand blocks away from tent encampments, not by accident, but by design. The housing crisis isn't broken, it's working exactly as intended. What if the problem isn't just affordability, but the very idea that shelter, a basic human need, should generate profit for those who hoard it? Rent isn't an economic transaction. It's a power dynamic built on exploitation. Landlords control access to a human necessity while wielding the threat of state-backed eviction. Unlike consumer choices, you can't opt out of rent. Without property ownership, you're fined monthly for existing. This creates a fundamental contradiction. Tenants need durable, affordable, stable housing. Landlords profit from cheaply built, minimally maintained, artificially scarce properties. The result? Mold, pests, structural decay, band-aid repairs while collecting maximum rents. The average landlord spends under 4 hours monthly on maintenance while earning $25,000. Tenants pay for everything: upkeep, mortgage, insurance, taxes, profit, while property values appreciate beyond their reach. The human cost is devastating. Rent forces families into overcrowded apartments, traps people in violent relationships, causes food insecurity and untreated illness. Evictions have nearly doubled since 2000, with Black tenants evicted at twice the rate of white tenants. A $100 rent increase causes a 9% spike in homelessness. Eviction judgments double your likelihood of death within 20 years. Unhoused people live to just 48, 30 years shorter than average. Rent doesn't just exploit, it kills. The rigged housing system was meticulously constructed through decades of deliberate policy warfare. During the Great Depression, Hoover championed home ownership while ignoring tenants. Roosevelt's New Deal cemented this divide: generous entitlements for homeowners, stigmatized scraps for renters. The government created 30-year mortgages and loan guarantees exclusively for buyers. Race was central to this exclusion. From 1924 to 1974, the real estate industry's code of ethics explicitly prohibited introducing members of any race whose presence would harm property values. The government standardized appraisals, ranking neighborhoods by racial composition. Redlining, restrictive deeds, and exclusionary zoning barred people of color from homeownership, confining them to substandard rentals. The real estate industry framed public housing as communist threats, securing construction budget caps and restricting eligibility to the poorest residents, ensuring deterioration and stigma. The post-war boom centered on homeownership through programs like the GI Bill, subsidizing white flight to suburbs. Over 27 million white people relocated, using zoning laws to restrict 75% of land to single-family homes. Meanwhile, slum clearance displaced 1.2 million people between 1949 and 1974, 55% being Black residents. Reagan slashed HUD's budget by 80% and banned new public housing. Wall Street capitalized on the 2008 crisis, pouring $60 billion into buying foreclosed homes. 20 U.S. cities shifted from homeowner to tenant majorities. Today's opportunity zones channel capital into historically disinvested neighborhoods, not revitalizing them, but erasing poor and working class life entirely. The first night of a rent strike reveals something profound. Despite not paying, your home persists. The building stands, your keys work, the roof remains. This exposes rent's absurdity. Before striking, tenants go to extraordinary lengths, foregoing food and medicine, taking payday loans, pawning valuables, all to avoid feared consequences. Yet nothing demonstrates landlords' parasitic role and tenants' collective power more clearly than stopping payment. Los Mariachis de Union de Vecinos in Boyle Heights proved this. In January 2017, Alejandro Juarez received notice his rent would jump from $840 to $1,495 in the building where he'd lived over a decade. Discovering neighbors faced similar increases, he connected with LA Tenants Union. They were galvanized by a Craigslist ad marketing their building as Mariachi Crossing, cynically exploiting neighborhood culture while displacing actual mariachis. Unlike traditional legal aid treating tenants as victims, the mariachis became political agents. They decorated their building with protest art, held press conferences, and performed at the property manager's office. On June 1, 2017, they began their rent strike, withholding nearly a year's rent while stalling evictions and publicly shaming landlord Frank B.J. Turner. On February 12, 2018, they won LA's first collective bargaining agreement of its kind. 6 months of withheld rent canceled, the increase reduced by over 75%, future increases capped at 5%, repairs guaranteed, and their right to bargain collectively recognized. Through direct action, they'd created rent control for their building. Tenant power requires recognizing that existing tenant rights are inadequate and nearly impossible to enforce. Tenants unions build the alternative system now. Building community transforms isolated neighbors into collective forces. When investment firm Ventus Group attempted to demolish their rent-stabilized buildings, resident Inez Alcazar realized isolation was their weakness. Their landlord had given different information to each tenant and offered varying buyouts while claiming each was maximum. Through nearly 4 years of organizing, they transformed casual greetings into united power. Confronting the owner, they spoke as one. "We're not leaving. We want to stay here, and we want to fight for it." For Alcazar, this transformed her understanding. Communist, to me, is community. Community working together. My dream is that one day, not only Flower Drive, but all these tenants' unions become communist. Communist as working together for one purpose, getting a house for everybody. Physical reclamation of space builds power. The Esperanza Neighborhood Committee transformed a dangerous Boyle Heights alley through weekly cleanups, eventually hosting movie nights and creating murals. Their organizing expanded to filling potholes, painting crosswalks, creating DIY speed bumps. Adopting "it's better to beg forgiveness than ask permission," their direct action created authority to make demands, not requests. Tenant unions function as learning organizations where strategies travel between associations. Alma Angel, who refused buyout offers up to $100,000, pioneered resistance by gathering neighbors to confront renovation workers. As organizer Sam Trin explains, Alma invented a strategy. Now, that's how we know how to get things done. Isabel Garcia has lived in her Boyle Heights apartment nearly 60 years. Despite relentless harassment, frivolous eviction notices, removed amenities, targeting her son, Garcia has fought to remain while battling multiple health conditions. Her total rent payments likely equal the building's cost, yet she still faces housing insecurity. When the landlord sabotaged the garden with spiky cacti and poisonous plants behind a barrier fence, it revealed how communal spaces threaten landlord control. Hillside Villa tenants in Chinatown organized against rent increases, demanding the city purchase their building. After their council member's $12.7 million offer was refused, tenants launched a rent strike in October 2020. When the landlord destroyed their courtyard garden, central to their organizing, tenants formed a picket line blocking contractors. At Echo Park Lake, unhoused residents created autonomous community, contrasting sharply with carceral housing, hotel rooms with 7 p.m. curfews, bans on guests and pets. They built impressive infrastructure, 24-hour bathrooms, communal pantry, showers, vegetable garden, solar lighting. In March 2021, the city deployed 400 riot police to evict residents. Despite housing promises, only 7% were placed in permanent housing a year later. The Second Street Tenants Association embodies the movement's spirit. Garcia was drawn to convivir, to live together, hang out, get close to others. This connection sustained them through harassment and pandemic hardship, leading to their rent strike under Food Not Rent. In a world where shelter has become speculation, we've forgotten something essential. Housing is a human right, not a commodity. To abolish rent isn't just to change a housing system, it's to create another way of living together.